Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as I open your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit, Father, to come forward, to open our hearts and minds, to be receptive, so that we can receive the truth, Father, of this your word, to where, Father, we can have the knowledge, the wisdom, to be beyond being deceived, because we have the truth of God's word. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of our study this morning. And I'm asking this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, we're coming to a close here of 2 Corinthians. We may not get finished this morning, but if we don't, we will finish this evening. But today, we'll finish up this book of 2 Corinthians. Now, we're going to be in the 12th chapter, starting out here, verse 1. Says, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Now, 2, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one called up to the third heaven. Now, we take a look at those two verses. There in verse 1, this passage is centered on the concept of glory. Paul's adversaries were boasting after the flesh. In other words, they were boasting about what they were doing to him and against him. Paul's boasting is of another sort. Visions and revelations of the Lord. These were visions of which the Lord was the author, not the object. Paul may very well have seen the Lord at this time, although if he did, he does not say. That is not the point. What follows is not intended to point attention to the one who received the vision, but to God who gave it. We know Paul was always reaching out to give glory unto God. Now, he's talking there in verse 2 about 14 years ago. The date is not precise enough to pinpoint the exact time or event to which the apostle alludes. Some suggest that this occurred when he was stoned in Acts 14:19. Others date it to the time when he was at Tarsus, waiting for the Lord to point out his work somewhere between Acts 9:30 and 11:25. And caught up, which means to snatch away. This term is used in regard to Philip, in Acts 8:39, and the rapture in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Now, as we get here in 3 and 4, I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Paul's not sure whether the man was really in the body or not, but as he said, God could tell. Four, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. You see, paradise. This term is used in the Greek version of the Old Testament in describing the Garden of Eden. In Paul's day, it was used commonly by Jewish writers to speak of heaven. Luke 23:43, Revelation 2:7. Whether the third heaven is viewed on the way to heaven or synonymous with it, Paul's celestial journey eventually took him to heaven. Now, when you and I one day, this is what our hope is for, is to be able to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we make it, we know that part of it, 1,000 years of it, with him will be spent here on this earth. And then we'll spend the rest of eternity in heaven. Now, we're not sure just how many different parts there is to heaven. in the Word of God, we have three mentions. But we'll not know that till we get to then we will. Verse 5. Of such one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. You see, we know Paul had a lot of troubles and a lot of infirmity going on. Beaten, stoned, imprisoned. Three days in the sea. On an island. Snake pit. Think about these things. They're not fun. Even though we can make it through. Now, 6. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. He's not wanting himself exalted. Paul has never really wanted that. He's always lifting up. Pardon me. He's always lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. 7. And least I should be exalted above measures through the abundance of the revelations there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, we know this thorn in his flesh is mentioned several times within the Bible. And it's also characterized further as a messenger of Satan. Just what Paul means by this is not clear. Among the views suggested are, 1, temptations from the devil. 2, Paul's opposition from his adversaries. 3, some intense bodily pain. 4, a reoccurring of physical affliction, such as eye trouble, or 5, form of mental or psychological distress. Whatever the case, he was a tool of Satan, and it was painful. That's why it's called a thorn. But whatever it was painful. It was accompanied by shame or embarrassment to the imposter. A fairly strong argument can be sustained in favor of the view that it was eye trouble. And we know where that would have come from. And how Satan would have used that in order to pull him away. But you see, regardless of what he was doing, there was no way that he could pull Paul away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Pardon me. You see, I've got a thorn in the flesh too. This flame that fills my throat. And I don't even know where it's coming from, what's causing it. There's no pain with it. it just causes trouble of talking and speaking. Now, 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's the way the Lord answered Paul when he sought him, that he might get rid of it. But he's letting him know that his grace was sufficient to get him through it. Let him live with it. And he says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He's happy to go on carrying this thorn because he's got the glory of the Lord and the power of Christ with him. Now, 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. In other words, when Paul himself is weak, the Lord that's there with him brings about strength for him. 11. I am become a fool. In glory, you have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostle, though I be nothing. Paul knows without the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, he is nothing. And that is something we all should understand and recognize. Because without the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, we would be lost and on our way to hell, to spend eternity with Satan and his bunch. Pardon me a moment. All right. Now, here it is. 11. I am become a fool in glory. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the chiefest apostle. Now, there in 12, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Now, Paul letting them know there in 13, he says, I myself is not burdensome to you. The only fault of his ministry was that he showed them preferential treatment. To such ingratitude, Paul's honoring deals a mortal blow, because he was not taking anything from them. They was not happy to keep him while he was there, because he had taken from other churches to keep from taking from them. Now, 13. So what is it wherein you were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? And he's asking for forgiveness for that wrong. He should have been letting them help him instead of charging it to other churches. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you. I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. 15. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you through the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. 16. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. 17. Did I make a gain of you by anything of them whom I sent unto you? 18. I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? Because you see, even though he had sent others, they wasn't gaining and taking anything from them either. Now, you know the word tells us here in several different places, in several different books even, that pastor is worthy of his care. It's not wrong to pay a pastor, but we are to make sure he is a pastor of Almighty God, not just one out to make a living, and then we pay him a lot more than we need to pay him in order to take care of it. I know of two churches here in this state of Kentucky. One furnishes a home, pays for the light bill, furnishes the car, pays for the pastor's gas, takes care of him and his family's medical care, and his salary is $100,000 a year. And that wasn't enough to get a pastor. Think about that. How many out here workers gets anywhere even a third of that for his pay. Because he's going to pay his own, for his own home. He's going to pay his own light bill. He's going to have to buy his own car and his own gas. And then if he makes $25,000 or $30,000 a year, he's lucky. Think about these things. But yet these pastors are wanting great money and a way of life with no trouble to them at all. 19. Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you. We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. 20. For I fear least, when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as you would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, and strifes, backbitings, whispering, swelling, turmoils. 21. And lest, when I come again, my God will humble me among you, that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. And you know, when we think about those things, we can remember back before we truly came to the Lord, how long it took us, the things we had done, the things we had to go and repent for, and Jesus covered for us with his blood. We have now come to the end of chapter 12. Now, 13, this is mainly reading and it's short, so I think we'll go ahead and read chapter 13, and we will be finished with this book of 2 Corinthians. So as we get started here, in this first verse, this is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before, and foretell you, as if I were present in the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all others, that if I come again, I will not spare. He's letting them know he's not going to walk around them. Verse 3, since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. 4, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. You see, what gives us the power of God, the Holy Spirit. 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be reprobates. Now, 8. For we could do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. 9. For we are glad when we are weak, and you are strong. This also we wish, even your perfection. Paul, his wish and prayer for them is for the very, very best. Now, 10. Therefore I write these things being absent, least being present, I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord has given me to edification and not to destruction. He's letting them know these things. Now, 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Here in 11 there, that I just read, he's saying, finally, brethren, in the first 9 chapters, Paul addressed the majority of the faithful brethren in the Christian assembly. And his words have been directed primarily to those who question his integrity. Paul is not even certain of these are true believers. But in his farewell address, the apostle turns his attention once again to those he really love and appreciate him. Thus he calls them brothers. Now, 12. One another with a holy kiss. Well, today, mainly, we greet each other with a handshake and a hug. Now, 13. All saints salute you. In the last verse of this epistle of 2 Corinthians. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. In his concluding benediction, Paul provides one of the clearest expressions in the New Testament on the doctrine of the Trinity, the deity of the Son, of the Father, and of the Holy Spirit are affirmed by virtue of their relation to one another. This distinctive personalities of each are implied by the independent activity denoted in the threefold operation of grace, love, and communion. And we have now finished with the book of 2 Corinthians. We're going to be getting into some epistles and things here that will really lay things out for you and I. So I pray that there'll be more. Join us. That God will find some more. Come in and join with us. And they can learn and accept the truth of God's word and walk closer and stronger with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God as they travel the road of righteousness and do the work that God calls for all of us to do so that we can all make heaven our home. All right. And any that is listening to me, that lives close to me, I have given my address many times. I live at 505 Newton Road in Gustin, Kentucky. And you are welcome to stop by my home. For any of these studies. Now, we're going to be stopping for the time being and going to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as I close your word, I thank you for this word, Father. I thank you for the night that you brought us through. I thank you, Lord, for each and everything that you do for us. And I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray for Israel, for them, for peace, and that they all will accept and put their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. Father, this land in which we live, it has grown so evil without any excuse whatsoever. A land that you have been blessing, Father, that has turned us back. Took our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ out of every place he was in. Except the hearts of those that believe in you. They can't take him from there. They would like to, but they can't. We'll not give him up. And we'll not quit using him in prayer. Because we pray all the time, Father, in his name, that name of Jesus. Father, pray for those that are sitting in high places in our government that has brought this evil upon this land, that they all be removed from office and replaced by those that are living in righteousness. Loving you, loving the Lord Jesus, loving your church and your people, and loving this land, and will work with us to put it back on the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I pray for all that listen in to these Bible studies. I pray that they all receive something to help them to grow stronger and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, to you, and that they work close with the Holy Spirit because without him, Father, we have no power and no understanding of your word. He has been given to us, give us a way to make heaven our home as we go through the Lord Jesus Christ and repent and put our faith and trust in him. Father, be with us all. Keep us through this day in health and keep us safe. So whatever we have to do this day, and Father, bring us all back together again this evening at 6 p.m. and back into your word, Father. This is my prayer, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.